ACEC is excited to announce that registration is now open for its fall conference taking place in Marco Island, Florida, this October. That's right, after a year of Zoom and virtual meetings, we're excited to be bringing our fall conference back as an in-person event. And we can't tell you how excited we are to look forward to seeing you there in person for all of the content, networking, and education that the fall conference is known for. Log on to www.acec.org for more information. We can't wait to see you there. Welcome to Engineering Influence, a podcast from the American Council of Engineering Companies and sponsored by the ACEC Life Health Trust, who is featured on today's program. And before we get into it, I do have a little announcement this little experiment here in podcasting has been honored and has won an Association Trends Award for 2021. What exactly we won, I don't know. We will find out in October when they have a virtual award ceremony, but it could either be silver, bronze, gold. But I guess the important thing here is that we have been honored, and that could not be possible without the support of course, our loyal listeners who download our podcasts, and also to the Life Health Trust, which enables us to keep it going. So Lindsay Simone has joined us with Life Health Trust. Thank you for your support, your continued sponsorship of the program, and for taking part in it.
Absolutely. We're always happy to continue to contribute back to our ACEC member firms.
Yeah. I mean, looking at the stats, you know, before we went on air, we were talking about this, that, you know, really one of the highest rates of downloads for, you know, we take a look at the month and we put out a monthly newsletter on this, is that the one that we did in August was the second most listened to podcast of the whole month.
Yeah, all on stress and managing our stress, which, you know, is obviously a very relevant topic now more than ever for the engineering industry.
Yeah. So no big surprise there. But that kind of feeds into what we're going to talk about today, because ergonomics and how we work, you know, how we interact with our work environment to avoid injury. Many of us, of course, work at desks, but at the same time, a lot of us are out at job sites and have to be cognizant of where they are and how they are interacting with the environment around them to avoid injury. My understanding, it's one of the top drivers in terms of cost for the trust, and it's a subject that we really should pay a lot more attention to. I think that, you know, we kind of push it in the back of our minds, and then we kind of wake up one morning and go, why does my back hurt? I mean, that's my week. That's been my week. I'm like, why does my back hurt? Oh, maybe it's because I'm sitting in my chair for like 12 hours. But let's get into it. I mean, you know, how does the trust kind of approach the issue of ergonomics and the engineering workforce?
Sure. We are one of the value adds that are available to ACEC member firms, one of three different trusts. We strictly do medical and ancillary coverage for our member firm. And we're very fortunate. We've been around for more than 55 years and have been serving roughly 40% of ACEC firms through our medical plan. So we're very uniquely positioned not only to understand what's going on within the risk of the engineering population, but then to look for proactive strategies. What can we be doing better? How can we avoid these potential risks and cost implications down the road? Mm-hmm. So as you pointed out, Jeff, we look at on an annual basis our aggregated health risk data. And time again, musculoskeletal issues are one of those top drivers of cost. And it's varied. That musculoskeletal diagnosis can be things like carpal tunnel, pinched nerves, herniated disc. You know, you mentioned the back pain. But it's very dependent on your work environment and those repetitive actions that you're doing every day. which, to your point, can differ vastly across the engineering population, whether you're a field staff or if you're someone that's mainly in the office, you can still be impacted by this.
Yeah, and it is that environment. It's just not your desk or your chair, but it's also lighting. It's also air quality. And all those things are added together to kind of impact someone's long-term health and things like carpal tunnel, things like issues with, you know, let's say back pain. They're not the kind of things that happen like immediately. It's something that arises over time. So it must be a prolonged cost for an engineering firm to kind of have to deal with that and something that you see as a over time mounting kind of a expenditure.
Absolutely. Whether it be short-term things like, going into chiropractors or acupunctures, but also the long-term needing actual surgery and inpatient stay to deal with it. Our insurance carrier that we work with on our fully insured product, United Healthcare, says that there are 83 million workdays lost per year just due to back pain. That right there, you lose not only the health of your organization, but the productivity of your organization as well.
So how's COVID also impacted this? Because you had this massive, disruption as far as, how people work in an office environment, people taking their stuff, bringing it home, trying to set up an office that kind of reflects or replicates what they had, in their traditional office place. What have you seen over time, the industry, and how's it responded to that disruption?
Sure. I think the immediate response once the pandemic hit was we just have to do what we have to do to get our work done. And we all went, shifted from the office environment to home thinking this is temporary. We'll have a month or two of this and we'll get back to work. Unfortunately, a lot of people really weren't set up to be able to be either productive or, not experience pain in their home environment because they didn't have a whole office set up like they would going into their work environment. I think very early on, we heard an anecdotal story from one of our board members saying that she had employees working from their bed or from couches, which, you do that for a day or two, you may not have any issues. But if you're doing that for months in and months out, there are going to be some chronic issues developed over time. So really, I think there is that shift and people became a lot more aware of how their environment can impact not only their health, but how they're able to work and be productive on a day-to-day basis. So I think we're all in a more and potentially better position now to understand that as we're still in some cases a hybrid environment or going back into work. Kind of taking some of these understandings and learnings back into those environments again, how can we be doing this better? Engineers, I think you always pose that question. What's the issue and how can we be making this better?
Yeah, I can imagine. It's over time. I mean, my setup remotely has grown into, something which I never thought I'd have, multiple screens, a microphone stand, lights, the whole deal. But that's the kind of thing that you add to over time. I mean, in your experience working with member firms, how have they assisted employees in that transition, whether it's, getting them the equipment, either as a standing desk or it could be a different chair, something that will actually help them be more effective and kind of replicate that office environment in their home setting?
There was definitely a movement towards helping individuals get that better setup. I know even internally at the Life Health Trust, we all started sending the double monitors home, the docking stations, making sure that we were getting webcams so we weren't looking down at a computer, which really can wreak havoc on your neck. And I think that on average, that's what we were hearing from engineering firms, that they were supportive of either moving materials from the office or funding additional resources so individuals could work from home more safely. I do know now as we're moving back into the work environment, just kind of keeping people more spaced out, having perhaps more flexible timing so that your office isn't as jam-packed. But you're seeing a lot more firms that are looking at and considering ergonomic consultations or checkups in the office, where you could potentially bring in a consultant that would sit with specific individuals, really look at their alignment, their posture, their general setup in the office to make sure that they're well equipped to not only do their job well, but to be free from pain.
Yeah, that's an important point. I mean, it's something that we're wrestling with also on that return, because I think we're going to be going towards that hybrid model. And it's that staggered kind of setup where we don't want to have the office too packed. We want to have people together meeting face-to-face, exchanging ideas and having those meetings, but we don't want to have it jam-packed, right? And then that's also informing any modifications we do, you know, to the office space as well. What are some of the tips, I guess, you know, to lower those costs? What can employees do to take it upon themselves to lower their risk of damage down the line and also help just reduce those overall medical costs in the future?
Mm-hmm. Coming from a wellness background, I can't use the word prevention enough. You know, it's on each of us to take those steps on a day-to-day basis to ensure that we don't encounter issues down the road. One particular trend that we saw with COVID was that there was a significant decrease in the utilization of medical benefits, whether those be seeking out inpatient services or outpatient procedures. So there are, a lot of individuals that may have needed a back surgery or a knee surgery and have been putting it off. One big recommendation we can give is if you are, you know, in that position and you're looking to go in for a procedure, is really to be a wise consumer of your benefits, to look in advance of those procedures, to look and check your providers for not only the cost transparency piece, but the quality, to ensure if you're going in and getting a procedure, you won't potentially have an issue where you're having to come back after that. That's one piece in terms of helping you as an individual contain your costs, but also benefiting the firm as a whole. But really, when it comes to prevention, there's a few simple things you can be doing. I mentioned alignment and posture. OSHA's website is amazing and has a lot of visual representations of correct standing and sitting postures. Also for specific work environments, if you have field staff. So that could potentially be a good resource to use. But just some general rules of thumb is to allow employees to have at least a micro break every hour. And when I say micro break, I don't mean, you know, they have to get up and waste time. we're engineers, we are still working on billable hours, but rather try and just take a few seconds to go and pick up printings from the copier. Stop and make a phone call, and instead of sitting at your desk, stand and move around. You mentioned eye strain and how the lighting can affect you. A great way to really prevent eye strain is to go by, they call it the 20-20-20 rule. So every 20 minutes, just looking away from your computer for at least 20 seconds and look about 20 feet away, just to refocus your eyes. A lot of us were heavy on the Zoom or all of the virtual meetings, staring at our computers. So that's a really simple way to avoid potential issues.
Yeah, and I'm also an advocate of those blue light glasses because we spend so much time looking at screens and sometimes multiple screens. And once we're done at work, what do? We sit down, we put the television on. I mean, you can't get away from a screen. And having that filter does help reduce eye strain. And you're right, breaking away, refocusing your eyes, taking a moment, and just standing up. I mean, my phone, my iWatch does it all the time. You know, it tells me stand, you know, and just getting up and staying at my desk, but just standing and maybe walking around my chair is enough, where it just gets you from the seated position and just changes how you're positioned and gets you moving a bit. It does help. It does help, you know, you get through that day. So that's really interesting. And the same thing you said about the delayed or delayed medical appointments during COVID. That's something which I think has you know, gotten some media attention, but I think not as much. The fact that people did put off a lot of checkups, a lot of preventative care, because either doctors were, you know, not taking in-person visits, or people just got busy and didn't take care of making telemedicine appointments. But I would imagine now, with so many doctors that are now doing virtual visits, that there's even less of a reason. And I know, man, listen, I'm guilty. My wife begs me all the time. She's like, you got to make an appointment. You got to make a checkup appointment. And I have no excuse, because I can now actually meet with the doctor on Zoom. So, you know, that must be a reduction of a barrier to entry on setting up those appointments. I guess it's just a nag out there for everybody out there who's been putting stuff in the way and putting it further back into their minds to get that appointment set up and get that checkup scheduled.
Exactly. Now there's no more excuses with the wide availability of telemedicine. To your point, there's even now a number of solutions available for pain in general that wouldn't have been otherwise. So a lot of these very traditionally in-person services are now available via convenient options that you can literally do wherever you may be. So yeah, no more excuses. It's really time to take prevention into your own hands. Just to give you a little bit of an idea that if you are a member, individual with back pain, even if you find somewhat of a conservative path of care, you know, working with an acupuncture, working on your physical fitness and strengthening your core, that simple steps can have make a significant difference on your probability of surgery or more significant medical procedures down the road.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Little things that you can do have a greater benefit, you know, when taken into the aggregate over time. Now, the trust does have some innovative solutions as well for members. Can you explain some of those options for LifeHealth Trust members?
Absolutely. So if you are a firm that is a member of a LifeHealth Trust medical plan, we have a virtual care program that is through Healthiest You. So we have been offering that for a number of years, but of course, with the pandemic, it's just exploded in popularity. And we've also been able to expand the different capabilities within that, beyond just general acute care that most people are used to, you know, cold, sinus, those type of issues. Within our Healthiest You product, we now have a back care program. So any member, employee, spouse, or dependent that's enrolled in our medical coverage can access that back care program at no cost. It's just a really nice way to first assess where you're at, but then come up with a customized plan to either prevent further issues or mitigate that pain that you may have now. Another avenue that we've gone down, because we're really always in the business of finding innovative solutions that better meet our members' needs. Within our advanced wellness program, we've invested in a solution called Kaya Health. It's a musculoskeletal program. It actually came out of Germany, and they've been making a big splash here in the United States in the last year or two. And it's really a digital physical therapy program. I know a lot of people fear their physical therapist. You know, I don't want to go in and have to do all the exercises. This takes that same experience and mimics it in a virtual environment. So you work one-on-one with a health coach. They'll set up a physical therapy program. And then through the amazing benefits of technology, you set up your phone and can follow this care plan and these workouts on your own. We're seeing just significant returns on that in particular. A number of our members that are getting engaged in the program after 6 weeks are reporting not only less pain, but also finding that they're getting better sleep and that they're reporting higher quality of life, which ultimately that's what it's all about. You know, being free of pain is great, but we want you to live your best possible life.
That's great information. So that, again, take advantage of your benefits, right? That's what it all comes down to, that you have a lot of options available to you. So get to know your plan, get to know your benefits, and take advantage of them. That's really the bottom line. So Lindsay, I do appreciate taking the time today and getting this information out to our members. I think that this one's going to be it's going to be up there with the stress management episode. I think that between stress management and you know, people's issues with working from home and, you know, back or neck pain or eye strain, we're all there. And we all need to do something about it. So I appreciate the information that you've given our audience today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having the Life Health Trust today.
Absolutely. And we look forward to seeing you down in Florida later. Yeah, next month at the fall conference. And slight plug there, you know, this Friday, tomorrow, the 24th, the early bird deadline on registration ends, so save $100. And if you have not acted yet, please do so, so we can all meet up in person and in a safe environment down in Marco Island, Florida. And we look forward to that. So, Lindsay, thanks again for your support of the podcast. And this has been the Engineering Influence Podcast from the American Council of Engineering Companies, sponsored by the ACEC Life Health Trust. We will see you next time.